Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Later today, we'll hear how Facebook is planning to end-run the government in Egypt, as it did the government in Tunisia, to get protesters online. But first, if you're going to college or sending someone, there are some statistics you might want to hear. According to a study of 3,000 students in 29 colleges across the country, 50% said they never took a class where they wrote more than 20 pages. 32% said they never took a course where they read more than 40 pages in 1 week. Students said they're spending 50% less time studying than students did several decades ago. And testing showed almost half showed no gain in learning after the first 2 years. Now, critics of the findings say the testing only sought to gauge critical thinking skills, not, say, how much students learned about their chosen fields. But the Association of American Colleges and Universities says this is enormous, important, and devastating research. The results were just published in the new book, Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses. And one of the study's authors, sociology and education professor Richard Arum of New York University, joins us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, as your data started revealing results, what did you think?
Well, when these results came back to us, frankly, we were both surprised and shocked by what students reported they were doing and being asked to do on college campuses today.
And be clear, were these students across socioeconomic, gender, geographic spectrums?
We have a national sample here of several thousand students, and when we looked at the characteristics both of the schools where they were enrolled in as well as the students themselves, they are representative of both populations, of school, of higher education, four-year colleges, and four-year college students in this country.
Yeah. And you're quick to say that you found pockets of excellence and learning in every school. However, this broad brush of, you know, half students saying they're not reading, they're not writing, and they're not learning. What else did you find? Why is this? Tell us some of the ways they are studying. For instance, studying alone?
So in terms of studying alone, let me just put out one more statistic on the table here. 35% of the students we surveyed reported that they spent five or fewer hours per week studying alone. 35% of students. When we looked at their transcripts, at their grade point averages, these students were receiving 3.16 grade point averages. They were doing quite well with such minimal effort.
Well, so you say they're only studying a few hours alone, but what's wrong with that?
Well, we find in our study that studying alone, the more hours you spend studying alone, the more you improve on this measure of critical thinking, complex reasoning, and written communication. Unfortunately, the more you spend studying in groups, it's just like being in fraternities and sororities. Your scores on this test actually go down. They deteriorate.
If you're in a fraternity and sorority.
Or if you're studying in groups. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't study in groups collaboratively in a structured way and have positive effects associated with that. However, when we ask students, how many hours are you spending studying in groups that actually exist on college campuses today, the more they spend time studying with their friends in groups, the less they are learning.
And we should say you used a recognized assessment tool. This is the Collegiate Learning Assessment, to really gauge how much kids were learning after a certain amount of time. So there's a disconnect here, because you're saying they weren't scoring any better on the test. The test showed they weren't learning, but they were getting great grades? What does that tell you?
Right. Well, what we conclude from that is that colleges and universities today are just failing to ask very much of students in terms of academic rigor, or failing to ask large numbers of students very much in terms of academic rigor.
Well, in fact, how much did students feel they spent time with their professors? I mean, did you gauge that, how much they actually interacted with a professor?
There's very little interaction with faculty outside of the classroom. The typical student meets with a faculty once a month.
Well, and let's talk about the fields you studied. Was this across all fields, or were there some fields where students seemed to be learning more?
On average, the traditional arts and science core of a college and university, that is social science, humanities, math, and science, those are majors where students are learning at slightly higher rates than in other majors and fields of study. We show that those gains in the traditional arts and science core are associated with students being asked slightly more in terms of reading and writing students are putting in more hours studying. And so we find large variation within colleges and universities. Right. And I think that's an important point not to be lost in this study. We identify that where you go to school matters. Colleges and universities matter in terms of how much learning occurs within them. They vary from one college to another, but there is much greater variation within colleges than across colleges. And so no matter where you go to school, there are pockets of excellence where students are applying themselves and reading and writing and gaining at very high rates on this measure. However, there are large pockets at all these colleges and universities where kids are basically going through the motion of being in college with little asked of them and little learned.
Just astonishing. I mean, to think that a student might only read 40 pages a week.
That 32% of the kids in our studies said, we have not taken a single class where we've been asked to read at that level. It's really astonishing.
Well, and just to underscore what you just said, as far as the different fields, you found students majoring in traditional liberal arts fields, including social science, humanities, natural science, math, had significantly higher gains in critical thinking, complex reasoning, writing skills, over students maybe in business, education, social work, communication, which had the lowest measurable gains. And in part, it was because in those liberal arts fields, the faculty required higher levels of reading and writing and spending time studying. So there's that. It's interesting because the New York Times is reporting an annual survey that found the emotional health of incoming college freshmen is at its lowest point since the survey started 25 years ago. So I don't know if you gauge this, but are you finding that a part of what's happening for students is that they're coming to college stressed out and with emotional problems, maybe worried about money at home or whether or not they're going to be able to stay in school? Or is it just that they're coming to institutions that aren't requiring them to work?
Well, I would say a little bit of both. So what's interesting about those survey results that were reported in the Times this morning is, you know, the stress levels are measured when the kids are coming into these schools. And the authors of the study attribute those higher stress levels to things outside of colleges and universities. And that's correct because the kids have just entered. It's not that they're being stressed by the academic demands being put on them in colleges and universities because they do not face significant academic demands in colleges and universities today. If you go on a college campus today and ask freshmen what they're experiencing, overwhelmingly, they will tell you, we thought college and university was going to be harder than high school. And you know what? We're surprised. It's easier than high school.
That's Rich Arum. He's a sociology and education professor at New York University, but also co-author of the new book, Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses. He and his co-authors surveyed 3,000 kids at 29 schools across the country and came up with really disturbing results in an acclaimed test. After 2 years, it showed they really hadn't learned much, many of them saying they weren't reading, they weren't writing, they weren't being required to study many hours, and the way they're studying isn't helping them learn. Professor Arum, you're going to be speaking to educators, college presidents, provosts, professors at the Association of American Colleges and Universities annual meeting tomorrow in San Francisco. We know you also have some recommendations, and one of them is you don't want to see any outside interference. You don't want to see any government regulation. What do you want to see? What do you think can change this?
Yeah, well, we think it would be a grave mistake for the federal government to step in with a one-size-fits-all accountability system on higher education. We think that although well-intended, that would most likely do more harm than good and be very counterproductive. However, we believe that accountability can be built in and should be built in at lower levels in the system.
So internal accountability.
Internal and college university presidents today, They report to trustees and state overseers and state regents. Those systems of accountability that are already in place have a responsibility to focus on this issue and make sure that it's addressed. So if I'm a college trustee today, I would ask my president and say, what are you doing to improve learning on your college campus?
Professor, well, what about parents? I'm wondering if parents should also be doing this, calling up and saying, why doesn't my student have more books to read?
Well, as a parent, first and foremost, I would encourage my child to seek out academic rigor in the colleges and universities that exist. I said that there were pockets of excellence where we found. In terms of asking colleges and universities reasonable questions, you can ask them, what are you doing to improve learning? How are you measuring it? How can we be sure that the kids that are enrolled in your care are being exposed to rigorous and appropriate academic experiences and growing?
You also talk about improving the education system before kids get to college, but staying with college, what about professors? You're a professor. You know, some have interpreted this research as saying that professors are more focused on their tenure, their own personal research. Is that fair? What do you think professors need to be doing?
So, by and large, I find faculty very hardworking and dedicated. The problem is the organizational culture that they inhabit has set up all the incentives to be structured in a way that are misaligned with undergraduate learning. The incentives are not to focus on teaching, but to focus on research and scholarship. And when teaching is focused on at all, the way that it's assessed has typically been looking at course evaluations. But we know that the more lenient and easier you grade students and the more entertaining you are in your classes, the higher your course evaluations. And that, if that's the only measure of teaching we have, again, the organizational cultures are completely misaligned with focusing on academic rigor today. We've got to do more than simply hand out degrees and not insist that the degrees have substance and the education that these students are experiencing is of high quality.
Wow, a huge number of students not reading more than 40 pages a week in college. That's not even Sir Gawain and the Green Knight in 1 week. That's Dr. Richard Arum, professor of sociology and education at New York University, co-author of Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses. Dr. Arum, thank you.
Thank you very much.
So here's another statistic Professor Arum found. Students who enter college today in the 50th percentile in critical thinking rise to the 68th after 4 years. But back in the 80s, students would improve to the 84th percentile. Now, the Wall Street Journal criticizes that stat. They say the research didn't test the same students at the end of 4 years. And Vanity Fair called this research a crushing expose of the heretofore secret society known as college. In other words, no duh. But the Chronicle of Higher Education asks, is this a result of dumbing down college so that everyone can go, whether or not they're qualified? What do you think? We know there are some kids working their butts off in school, but in your experience, are many not reading or writing? Go to hearandnow.org. Click on to send an email or leave a comment right there. We'd love to hear from you. Back in 1 minute, Here and Now.